Chapter 9, The New Jerusalem. As the days blended into months, months into years, and years into centuries, abundant life continued in the heavenly kingdom. Every day was different. Boredom never set in, because every day was filled with wonderful new things to learn, to see, and to do. Heaven was like seeing the ocean for the first time, with the waves breaking upon the shore, or being in the desert far away from the city lights and seeing the beauty and vastness of the night sky. Such was the life that Jonathan Stone lived in his eternal kingdom. One day, when Jonathan was home, he heard a knock at his door. As he opened the door, there stood a man he didn't recognize. The man reached out his hand and said, "Hello, Jonathan. My name is Tim. The Lord has sent me here to meet you." Jonathan reached out, shook his hand, saying, "Come on in, Tim, and let's get to know each other." They walked over and sat opposite each other at the dining room table. Jonathan had various fruit and vegetables laid out between them in a decorative fashion. Tim was the first to speak. "So, Jonathan, where did you live in the old world? And in what century did you live in?" "I was born in 1962 in a city called Holyoke in Massachusetts, in what was then the United States." "How about you, Tim? Where were you from and when did you live?" A huge smile broadened on Tim's face as he said, "I was also born in Holyoke, Massachusetts. I was born in 1965. "I grew up on Locust Street," Jonathan said with a look of extreme curiosity showing on his face. "So did I. What was your house number?" Both of them began grinning ear to ear, and their eyes were beginning to open wider and wider, wondering what their connection might be. "I grew up on 181 Locust Street. How about you?" Jonathan inquired. "I lived on 177 Locust Street for the first 7 years of my life." They both let out a long breath and wondered what was coming up next. They continued to look at each other as they each searched their past. "I wonder," Jonathan said with a distant look on his face. "When I was a little boy, I remember seeing another boy who was in a yard a couple of houses up the street. We introduced ourselves and we played together just that one afternoon. After we were done playing, he asked me if I wanted to come over to his house for supper and then read the Bible. I thought back then that it was kind of cool and weird. After that day, I never saw him or played with him again." Tim jumped in and said, "That was me. I remember playing with you and then asking you to come over for supper. My parents always had a short devotional after supper." They both looked at each other in amazement and began laughing. Jonathan said, "I remembered that brief encounter throughout my earthly life, especially after I got saved. I always wondered who that boy was and what had happened to him." "Did he move far away, or did he stay close, because I never saw him again after that?" "The Lord was involved in each of our lives, even way back then when we were children. What we forgot as a chance encounter had been written in the journals of heaven," Tim said. "It's amazing how the little things that happen in our old lives, things that we forgot or thought were not important, turn out to be the things the Lord brings to the forefront," Jonathan said. Jonathan and Tim then talked about their earthly lives and the different ways the Lord had impacted each of them. It was a sweet time of fellowship, and their conversation brought great joy to each of their hearts. It was a time of mutual encouragement. Tim said, "I'm in the mood for a walk. I have wanted to explore the eastern part of the kingdom near the east gates. Are you interested in joining me?" "To the east we go," Jonathan said. As they walked along the streets of gold, heading towards the eastern gates of the heavenly kingdom, Jonathan's mind went back to the first time he saw the holy city. It felt like it happened moments ago, and he could remember everything in vivid detail. He knew it would always be like that, for he was made anew with a perfect body, soul, and mind suited for him living in eternity. As they walked the streets of gold beside the river of life, the road they were looking for appeared ahead of them. At the beginning of the street was a decorative bronze pole with a sign mounted on top that said, "Emmanuel's Highway East." They began walking down a cobblestone street made of various colored stones. The stones' colors matched many of the houses and buildings on the right side of the street, as well as the parks and fields on the left side. The colors brought both sides together in perfect harmony. As they were enjoying their walk, Jonathan asked him, "Do you remember the first time the New Jerusalem was revealed?" "No one will ever forget that day. I remember the Spirit taking us all to that great and high mountain. The whole kingdom was there. I remember when the base of the city suddenly appeared in the heavens above us. Every eye was captivated as the holy city started descending out of heaven from God the Father." Jonathan added, "I remember how God's glory was above the city, and the light of his presence shone all around it and illuminated it. It came down from his hands and reminded me of a precious jewel, for the city was as clear as crystal." Tim added, "I remember that my eyes could barely take in the massive size of the city's foundation and the height of its walls. It was so impressive as it rotated down slowly for all to see. It was like the city was being lowered by an invisible rope that was held in God's hands. I remember seeing such detail I could hardly clearly see the 12 foundations and its precious stones with the names of the 12 apostles written on each foundation. I watched as each of the 12 gates of the city rotated in front of me, and I could even see the emblems of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on each of its gates. I also saw clearly the faces of God's mighty angels standing at attention as each of the gates passed in front of me." Jonathan said, "It's amazing how God can make a city in the shape of a square or cube so magnificent, beautiful, and majestic. The sheer size of the city being lowered from the heavens is still beyond my comprehension. Think about it. The city is 1,400 miles in width, depth, and height, and that is by man's measurements." Tim added, "I remember how the walls of the city were made of jasper and pure gold. It reminded me of glass glowing in a furnace. The city and its walls were like mirrors, glittering and sparkling from the reflection of God's glory and his awesome presence above it. What stands out most of all to me is not the city itself coming down, but it was when I looked up above the city and saw the splendor and majesty of God Almighty and his glory lighting up everything in its path. All the saints had seen him at the same time, and every face seemed to freeze in time as his glory descended on the city and overflowed upon us. I remember grasping for words, but something to express the majesty of what I saw, but no words could be uttered," Jonathan added. Tim reminisced aloud. "Remember when we used to think the fireworks display on the 4th of July were amazing? I used to be amazed at the grand finale. I think of the old world and the best it could offer. It's like darkness compared to what we have already seen and what is still to come. No comparison at all. It's like comparing the light that comes from a match to the light that comes from the sun, Jonathan added. Tim continued. It was funny how we were all grasping for the words when suddenly the Lord put a new song in all of our hearts. All at the same time, we sang and lifted up our hands in worship to the one who lit the city with his awesome presence. Jonathan added, "That's so true. That was such an awesome event. But nothing on that day could even compare to what happened next. Seeing God's glory is awesome, but hearing his voice was something altogether different. I remember seeing him rising up from his throne as the city came to rest in its place. I remember him saying in a loud voice, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and I will live among them. In the midst of all of them, I will be found. You will be my people, and I myself will be with you and be your God. I will wipe every tear from your eyes. There is no more death and no more mourning, crying, or pain. For I have made the old order of things pass away.'" Tim said, almost teary-eyed, "I remember those words very well." Jonathan added, "I remember the surprise all of us had when the 12 gates of the city suddenly flew open. Every eye was looking down from that high mountain, wondering what was going to happen and what was going to come next. Then it came, that loud voice from the throne calling all the saints to enter the city for the first time." Tim interjected, "That day was majestic. And it was beautiful to see myriads and myriads of the saints from all the ages and centuries flying down the mountain and entering the holy city through the 12 gates. There was cheering, dancing, and there were songs of praise as we entered into our eternal home, our eternal rest, our eternal kingdom, the kingdom that was prepared for us before the creation of the world. Watching the heavenly city, God's glorious presence, his majestic voice, and the call to enter the city for the first time still burned fresh in Jonathan's memory. They both praised God as they traveled and reminisced about other events of that day as they made their way to the eastern gates of the kingdom. They traveled 100, perhaps even 1,000 miles, enjoying each other's company and exploring the city as they went. Finally, in the distance, they could see one of the great eastern walls of the city, and it rose high into the clouds. It stood like a mountain in front of them. As they walked closer, they saw one of the eastern gates coming within view. They could see the base and capitals of each of the columns of the gates that rose above the walls of the city. On the top of each of the capitals was a large round room with windows facing in every direction, and the roofs were conical in shape as they rose high above the walls. As they approached the gates, they discovered that the wall of the city was 200 feet thick, and the two gates were fastened to the columns in the exact middle of the wall. The two gates were made out of burnished bronze square posts. The vertical posts were 12 feet apart and rose as high as the eye could see. The horizontal cross beams blended perfectly into the vertical beams every 12 feet. Fastened between the beams were 12-foot square hammered gold plates. The plates were identical in size and shape, and they continued up vertical and horizontal as far as the eye could see. The plates were decoratively engraved with different scenes showing God's mighty acts, from his 6 days of creation and his day of rest to his saving power on Israel's behalf. There were plates showing scenes from the plagues in Egypt to the parting of the Red Sea to Joshua crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land. The plates showed Jesus' earthly ministry as well as the Acts of the Apostles. They showed other events throughout history, up to the day of his second coming. Some plates were of well-known historical events, while others were of unknown and hidden events. The mysteries of God's saving power in the church throughout history. As they were admiring the pictures and their great details, Jonathan and Tim realized that they could be there for another 100 years just examining the plate's decorative qualities. They could spend hundreds of years just trying to figure out the mysteries of the Lord's saving power in the lives of the saints throughout the history in the church of the living God. This was just one gate, and they still had 11 more to see. Their little excursion was almost over for now. They knew they had eternity to explore the kingdom, but duties were calling to each of them. They parted ways with a hug, each headed to wherever the Spirit was calling them. Jonathan was called home, and upon entering, he noticed again how his home was made, created and even crafted specifically for him. He remembered how Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Jonathan thought of how his earthly home paled in comparison. Here, everything fit perfectly to who Jonathan became in heaven. He remembered from the scriptures Jesus saying, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Jonathan had used his earthly wealth for fellowship and for the kingdom. Now he was seeing the fruit of his labor, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal.